welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
Remdesivir is a drug most of us never heard of until 2020, and even then, most of us never heard about it until the end of April. In the veterinarian community, it's a major drug for a common killer caused by the coronavirus, an illness called feline infectious peritonitis. It is used heavily to treat cats, particularly in China. Then, this week, Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease, announced that there is significant clear-cut positive effects in diminishing the time to recovery. That is a quote. Shortly thereafter, the FDA gave emergency approval to remdesivir, and the rest is history. It has now become standard practice for those who are quite sick with COVID-19. Mark, you put together a poem with as much data as you can find on this particular study. Tell us what you found out about these 1,063 patients who have been treated with remdesivir.
Yeah, this was a study that was released early. All we have so far is what we can find on clinicaltrials.gov and a press release from NIAID. And so the full data aren't available. I'm expecting it'll probably be in a big name journal like New England Journal, hopefully very soon. They're doing accelerated reviews of these. They recruited 1,063 hospitalized patients with SARS-CoV-2 infection and evidence of lung involvement. That could be by imaging, need for oxygen, even hearing crackles in the lungs, or requiring mechanical ventilation. They were randomized to remdesivir, 200 milligrams IV on day one, and then 100 milligrams IV for up to 10 days, or until they were discharged, or they got a matching placebo injection. So this is an adaptive trial, and this is the first phase of that trial, and they did have a data safety monitoring panel that was monitoring the results. And once they hit a reduction in their new primary outcome, they had originally had mortality as the primary outcome, I believe, but they switched it to duration of symptoms or duration till hospitalization or time to recovery, they call it, I'm sorry. They stopped the trial, and now they're going to adapt it and probably look at either different doses or remdesivir versus remdesivir plus another drug. So what were the outcomes? The time to recovery was significantly faster in the remdesivir group, 11 versus 15 days, statistically, and I would say clinically significant. There was also a trend, although non-significant, toward lower mortality in the remdesivir group, 8% versus 11.6%. P-value there was 0.059. Number needed to treat, if it's true, is 28. So that's a fairly strong trend. In general, when you have a dichotomous outcome like dead, not dead, you need a much larger sample size than for a continuous outcome like duration of time to recovery. And that's just statistics. And so that's why they said they changed the primary outcome. They realized they probably were going to be underpowered and they wanted to get an answer sooner rather than having to wait a few more weeks. They also, at least in the press release, don't talk about harms or outcomes like the need for mechanical ventilation or need for ICU care. Now, this stands in contrast to a study that was done in Hubei, China, reported in The Lancet in much greater detail and peer-reviewed, 237 patients randomized to the same treatment protocol in a 2-to-1 ratio. So a much smaller study. They found basically no difference in between duration of symptoms, no difference in mortality. So contrasting results, we don't know if that's an issue with perhaps the widespread use of remdesivir in China for veterinary use has resulted in some resistance. We really don't know. And, but it does stand in contrast to the U.S. study that was terminated early because of a clear benefit.
So again, this is a drug that's been proposed for pretty sick patients, hospitalized. It's an IV drug, and it now has become sort of the standard of care, right? I mean, you sort of have to include this in a cocktail. given all the publicity and the fact that the FDA has now approved it. It's standard of care for hospitalized patients.
Yeah, I would think so. And as I said, it's going to be an adaptive trial. So they're going to be looking further at does adding, for example, a monoclonal antibody or in comparison with a monoclonal antibody when that's developed, will that be as good or better? Or do you need a combination of drugs? I think there are also questions about patient selection that may have been part of the reason for the difference in the results. Is it more effective earlier in the course? Should it be reserved for patients who are sicker? There are just a lot of questions. And when the final results are published, I'm very anxious to see, are the other beneficial outcomes like risk of being in the ICU, needing ventilation, are those in the same general direction or are they all over the place? If they're all in the same general direction, even if not statistically significant, I'm going to feel better about the overall benefit.
It will be important to follow these patients longer term than just when they leave the hospital.
That's right.
Anyways, you raised some great questions, Mark. Thanks for giving us an update on that. I know we're sort of handicapped in that nothing's been published, but at least listeners can hear as much as we know at this point. Thanks, and we'll talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.